From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. You may not think of the South as the cradle of multiculturalism, but we are giving that a second thought on tomorrow's show. In the mid-20th century, influential white and black writers and intellectuals argued against integration. They advocated for separate cultural and creative spaces coexisting on parallel tracks. So, separate, but equal? What do you say? What did integration mean for black and white culture? And did fears that black music and food and slang would be mixed or eroded or co-opted or ruin white culture? Did that come true? Chime in on Facebook or Twitter or call us at 404-500-9457 and join us live tomorrow at 9. But for now, we turn to the South decades after integration, a place of unbearable tensions, as Taylor Bruce writes in his introduction to American South. It's the latest field guide in the Wild Sam American Road Trip series. Taylor's creator and editor of the series and joins us now from Austin. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. So Wild Sam, not your typical field guide. Very designed. We don't get starred ratings and photographs of places you must see.
But right.
Instead, we get old news clippings and stories and recommendations for travelers. Tell me a little bit about this. You were a travel writer for 8 years before this guide. What was the inspiration?
So the inspiration really was to create a book that really tells you where you are. You know, I mean, Google can tell you kind of where you land on the map, but doesn't really give you the depth of context. And so we felt like there was a need for guides that told the story of a place. And so I was living in a 500 square foot apartment in New York City and had just finished an MFA in fiction writing and just had this idea and gathered some friends up in Nashville, Tennessee, and a good friend in Atlanta who's a designer. And, you know, 6 months later, we had a book about Nashville, and that was 6 years ago. And we're on our 13th book now.
Right. And so this one is the American South. And you write in your introduction, oppression and guilt, death and life, beauty and sorrow. Because this is my home and these are my people, I cannot escape these two stories. They're like two trees wrapped together on my family farm. What are these two stories?
You know, the South, you know this and you discuss it on your show. It is a complicated place. It is dark and light, as I say in the intro. And the two stories are, you know, they're sort of inescapable. If you just, you know, a typical travel guide, for example, is going to mostly tell one story, which is, you know, this great restaurant and this beautiful beach and that type of experience. And we just feel that to have a full experience and sort of a complete picture of humanity, you have to tell the whole story. And that includes the darker truths. And so all of our books in the American South, for sure, kind of takes that head on and doesn't shy away from telling those stories and letting other people tell those stories. We sort of see ourselves as kind of the congregating force that brings other voices into the book and just sort of lets the stories be themselves.
And you write about coming across a story in particular that revealed some of this darker truth. You're there in Austin and read something in the New York Times about your hometown, LaGrange, Georgia. What was that?
Yeah, I grew up, just about an hour south of Atlanta in LaGrange, and an amazing town. Love LaGrange. And this is, you know, January 2017. I pick up the newspaper, and on the front page, below the fold, there was the headline, "White Police Chief Apologizes for 1940 Southern Lynching." And it's the story of a young man, a black teenager who was accused of attacking a white woman, and a mob of white men took him from the jail and drove him 8 miles outside of town and killed him. And I had never heard that story. The first I read of it was that morning in the newspaper. And that the story itself was a shocking truth, but to realize that I had, you know, I'd grown up for 18 years in this town and had never heard this story. And, you know, my parents had never heard this story. And I would wager to say most of the people I know had never heard this story. It said a lot to me about sort of the South and, you know, that the light of truth is sort of not shown everywhere. That's, you know, Ida B. Wells writes that the only way to right wrongs is to turn the light of truth upon them. And so, you know, that experience, just, you know, it really sort of said and sort of, inspired me to just kind of move right into my, you know, my, my home place and to do this book.
Mm. So inside of a place we don't often see the truth, sometimes we have to get away. And in the beginning of the book, there are different points in Southern history, which, of course, is a rich and vast history, beginning with 1513 Ponce de Leon, or Ponce de Leon, as we say here in Atlanta, explores mythical waters in Florida. But some really interesting other dates, of course, the Civil War. But then, you know, we have things like Roots, the miniseries airs on ABC. Recall opens Fame Studios in Muscle Shoals. Why these choices? What makes them the markers of Southern history?
You know, our books are small. If you were holding it in your hand, you could put it in your back pocket. It's 140 pages, and we are. It's not an exhaustive story of the South, but our hope is that we will sort of sprinkle on every page these sort of beautiful and true stories about the region that just spark people's curiosity to discover and learn more and to experience, you know, to go to Muscle Shoals and sort of, you know, have a moment of understanding what happened in Fame Studios, and, you know, or to go on the Georgia coast and see the shrimp boats in Darien. And we're not going to sort of give you 100 restaurants to eat at. It's more of, hey, there's this one restaurant in Atlanta, Busy Bee Cafe. Like, if you go there, you're going to experience something real about the city, and it's special. And so that's kind of our approach. And, you know, our timeline is on one page. And so obviously you can't capture the history of the South. You can't capture the history of anywhere on a single page. So,
but it is interesting to do, you know, through the books and the food and the literature and even right. the television shows in some way. I'm speaking with the writer, editor, and LaGrange native Taylor Bruce. He's the curator of the Wild Sam Field Guides, which recently published a field guide to the American South, including Fame Studios in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. And this is one of the songs that came from there. Aretha Franklin, of course, her career transformed in Muscle Shoals. Many things have transformed in the South. And this guide, the Wild Sam Guide, sends readers on this two-week trip called the Southern Epic. This is from Washington, D.C. to New Orleans. And in Georgia, you suggest people stop in Atlanta, specifically the Buford Highway. What makes this the destination?
You know, it was really tough to figure out what is one thing that people should experience in Atlanta. And we landed on the Buford Highway. You know, if you're unfamiliar, it's a 10-mile stretch of just global cuisine. And with all these restaurants, it really felt like a picture of the New South, that it is truly a melting pot. And it's a beautiful picture of, you know, where the South is headed. Obviously food in the South is something special. And so we just felt like, you know, that was a bit of a surprise and not necessarily what people would expect, but such a unique experience and emblematic of the good things happening in the region.
And there are so many stories. One quirky one I would love to ask you about is Jimmy Carter's UFO story from 1973. Can you summarize that tale for us?
Yeah, so there's a section in the book we call the Almanac, and we love to find old newspaper articles that just give sort of a slice of, you know, a moment in time. And when President Carter was campaigning in 1973, this was in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He saw a UFO, and he's quoted, you know, describing, you know, it was about 30 degrees above the horizon, looked about as large as the moon. It got smaller and changed to a reddish color, and then got larger again. I mean, this is the future president of the United States talking about seeing a UFO. And President Carter is just, he's a great example of what I love about the South. You know, he's a nuclear submariner from a peanut farm. You know, it's just that combination of high and low is just one of my favorite things about, you know, Georgia and the South at large. It's just a beautiful combination.
There's also a story. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, that section I was flipping through earlier, there's a section about Herschel Walker when he was being recruited as a high school running back. And there's a small bit about Channing Cope, who was a kudzu evangelist in the 1940s, you know, the miracle plan of kudzu, telling everyone to plant it everywhere. Thanks a lot. And so it's just, we sort of see when you sort of just put a bunch of these stories together in a bit of a, you know, a gumbo that people, that it just, it colors the region in a really interesting way and fun, you know, like we said, light and dark, you know, those two things together create more of a more complete picture of place.
Well, and we get a complete picture from there's an essay by Nicole Hannah Jones, Ghosts of Greenwood. She's describing returning to Greenwood, Mississippi, a place her grandmother left during Jim Crow, 50 years after the Freedom Summer. So the guy doesn't duck the ugly truths or the hard truths. So did you feel in your way, you know, as you're writing a book and a guide to the American South, what is the responsibility to get it South, the South right, if I can say that?
I feel a huge responsibility. It's
How do you do it?
Well, you don't do it alone is one thing. So you bring in, you know, people like Nicole, who are incredible writers and deeply thoughtful, and Brian Stevenson is an interview in the book, and you know Brian is a hero of ours, and the way that he is approaching, you know, the history of lynching in the South, in Montgomery is incredible, and you know, interviewing people like Brian and Chef Frank Stitt, and bringing in writers like Nicole, we feel like the more voices that are in the book, the better chance we have of getting it quote unquote right, and if it's true. We feel like we're going to get close, you know, to that moment of being right. But you know, this book, it's 140 pages, and you could do 10 versions of it and change every story, and it still wouldn't capture the entire place. And so our hope is that we capture an essence that feels real and authentic, and that sparks curiosity, and you know, gives some people a moment to reflect on, you know, what this place is and what their place might be in it. You know, we're all complex beings stories upon stories upon stories. So hopefully the book kind of points people in that direction.
And you're going to make a lot of people mad if you choose the wrong barbecue place, obviously.
I know. Yeah, we try not to do too much claiming of best in the region. But we have there's a meet and three section in the book where we list our 15 favorite meet and threes across the South. And, you know, there are a lot of good ones that didn't make the list, too.
It's also divided into sections. We've got cities and towns. You mentioned almanacs, the road trips, the interviews, the stories, some of the essentials. But you also highlight some issues, upward mobility, mass incarceration, and in rural parts of the South, you know, many people view travel as an escape from the real world. So why establish these points?
You know, it's that whole part about trying to get to the whole picture. You know, Brian, when we were interviewing Brian Stephen, he said something to me that I'll never forget. He said that having proximity to inequality awakens something in a just society. And, you know, when we share the harder parts of a place, a city or a region, the challenges, the issues, the problems that are unsolved, and I just feel like it's going to open up that place in a real way. And it's like if you're getting to know a person, if you have a friend and all they share is the good things from their resume, you're not really going to know them. But if they share their fuller story and their struggles and their past, that's when a depth of friendship starts. And we kind of approach a place the same way. I love when I have a better context, a deeper understanding of a place. The place comes alive in a different way.
Well, this is, of course, we've said, you know, American South, vast, complex, layers of meaning for different people. But in a way, you are establishing with this guide an essential South. No small task. So what kind of questions did you ask editorially and with your counterparts working on this about taking on the whole South?
I mean, lots of questions. You know, I think the biggest question for us was, what's the balance of the hard things and the beautiful things, and how do you how do you present that true picture in a way that doesn't feel heavy-handed in either direction? And it's kind of a touch and feel thing. It feels a little bit like music, you know. In my ear, it sounded right, you know, when we got to a point that we felt like it was complete. And, you know, other people obviously were sort of a part of the editorial process too. And our hope was that whether you grew up in the South and have lived there your entire life, or you're coming in from, you know, from London and have never stepped foot in Georgia, that this book would speak to you in a way that felt honest and inspired you to go deeper and go further really see the place for what it is.
Okay, so now we're going to call you out on, you have not yet done a guide on any particular town in Georgia. So what's happening here, Taylor?
So Atlanta, I was looking back. So there's several things in Atlanta. We talk about several restaurants, Beaufort Highway. We interviewed several people from Atlanta. But we knew in our back pocket that there's an Atlanta city guide coming. It's, you know, there's several cities in the U.S. that we're really excited about. Chicago, Portland, and Atlanta is right there.
How about Savannah? We got to stand up for Savannah.
I know. Savannah is great. Athens is an awesome town. It's coming for sure.
Well, you do begin the book with the lyrics to this song, which actually was not written originally as a song, or maybe it have been, but this is Claude Ely in 1934. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Why start with that?
You know, at the beginning of the book, there's what we call the welcome, and it's a one-page intro that I write. It's the very last thing I do for these books, and it's kind of a culmination. And I really was struggling with this one. I wrestled for a couple weeks on what I would say, and there was a writer that we had been in contact with, John Jeremiah Sullivan, as we worked on the book, and I texted John the morning I was trying to get this thing done, and I said, John, I need a song to sort of get in the headspace. What's the one song I need to be listening to right now? And he told me this song, and so I put it on repeat, and it really sort of brought a lot of things up in my mind, including the story of Austin Calaway from my hometown, and you know,
Taylor,
the intro came.
We're going to let that music play, and thank you so much for speaking with us.
I appreciate it.
Taylor Bruce, LaGrange native and creator of the Wild Sam Field Guides, the Wild Sam Field Guide for the American South, is now available.